For podcasts, articles, and more, find us on newstalkstl.com.
Martin McCloskey on fire. This is Mark McCloskey on fire.
Not getting no down, but I get up again. You're never gonna keep me down. Not getting no down, but I get up again. You're never gonna keep me down.
Well, good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Mark McCloskey on fire. You know, the entire purpose of the powers that be is to give us so many conflicting things to think about that we can't tell what side we're on of any issue. But if you start with a philosophy that everything they tell you is a lie, and if you start from the get-go with assuming that everything that's out there in the press is intentionally fabricated to misdirect and confuse the population and keep us going in different directions and keep us from having any firm base in what we would call a unity of opinion, then you've got a pretty good head start. But I always start by pissing everybody off because, I've thought about this from the very beginning. Back on October the 8th of last year, I texted Tucker Carlson. And I said, since when was genocide a good idea? And when did genocide become acceptable? And he wrote back some unpleasant words about how he thought that this entire thing was horrible, okay? And let me explain a little bit of my background on that. I had a guest on the show shortly after October the 7th of last year who explained about the kind of surveillance and security that Israel has and how it is the most surveilled and secured environment in the world, that there's more video surveillance in Israel than any place else, and that their video surveillance is monitored in a way that no one else is countries monitor, and they have all this high-tech control of their borders. And so then I'm wondering how some Stone Age tribesmen riding mini bikes and pickup trucks and hand gliders could glide into Israel past all that security and kill a bunch of people and then disappear back into the woodwork with hostages, right? And I suspected at the time that maybe this was all a setup. Maybe this was an intentional thing on the part of the Israeli government to give them an excuse to go into Gaza and do what they've always wanted to do, which is exterminate Hamas. Well, you know, there's 2 million people in Gaza. It's a little tiny, tightly controlled place. The 2 million people in a country the size of a bathtub, well, it's not a country, it's what's called the world's largest open-air prison because of the way it's been controlled by Israel. But, you know, and so let's assume that this was a setup from the get-go, that Israel intentionally allowed the incursion across its borders to create a pretense upon which to go and kill a bunch of Hamas leaders. And you would say to yourself, well, what country would intentionally allow hundreds of its own citizens to be killed just for political purposes? And you'll remember that when this first happened, we were told there were 700 or so casualties, and then the number kept increasing, and now we're up to about 1,500. And, you know, President Biden got on television and said that he had seen video of beheaded babies and all this kind of stuff, and then he eventually had to retract that and say, no, I haven't actually seen that. I saw it on Hannity's program, not last night, probably the night before, where he's saying that he's seen the videos. Well, I've not seen the videos. I'll bet you haven't seen the videos. But now we have to believe it. But let's just assume everything they tell us about this is true. And by the way, of course, it's not, because everything they tell us about everything is a lie. But let's just assume it's true. And let's assume let's assume, what if the Israeli government actually intentionally allowed 1,500 of their own citizens to die? And you would say, oh, no government would intentionally allow hundreds of its own citizens to die. Well, holy crap, folks, what do you think about COVID? How many hundreds of thousands of Americans were intentionally killed by our government to force vaccines on us, to withhold pre-hospitalization treatment of COVID patients? And you'll recall I had Dr. Thorpe on the program a couple of weeks ago. I'm going to have Dr. Peter McCullough on the program in a couple of weeks. And they lay out pretty spectacularly how they were persecuted and prosecuted and harassed for trying to keep people alive during COVID, for trying to give people an alternative to hospitalization, to keep people from being intubated which would cause almost exclusively cause them to die in the hospital as opposed to be being made better. And if you think a government won't kill its own citizens for political purposes, then you've forgotten everything we've learned in COVID. So let's say this. Let's back up to my initial proposition. What if the Israeli government decided that they needed a good excuse to go beat the crap out of Hamas? What if they're willing to sacrifice, let's say, 1,500 of their own people for the purposes of going in and doing two things, one being able to wipe out Hamas, and the other is to generate an awful lot of pro-Israel sentiment? And then things started to go south, right? Because, you know, in the process of trying to kill a few Hamas leaders, they had to kill thousands and thousands and thousands of Palestinians. I think the number I saw this week was something over 35,000, all right? And yet all you see on television is Israel under attack. Well, I don't know how many people in Israel have actually died since October the 7th, but we know that 35,000 Palestinians have at least, mostly women and children. And by the way, the Gaza Strip is a population of youths, as Vinny would say. And the average age is like 16. It's ridiculous because all the males have been killed or left, and it's a population of infants in effect. But anyway, be that as it may, because of the onslaught of Israel into the Gaza Strip, tens of thousands of people are dying. The place has been bombed out of existence. It's rubble pile after rubble pile with bodies sticking out from underneath the concrete. People started to see that around the world. Well, now you're trying to promote pro-Israel propaganda. So what do? Well, you can't do it directly. You have to do it around the block. And this is what the media is very, very good at. So all of a sudden, we get pro-Palestinian uprisings all over the United States. I bet you couldn't find a pro-Palestinian student if your life depended on it 7 months ago, but now they're all over the place, right? You have to wipe them off like mosquitoes in the summertime because they're every place. And they all have the same tents, and they all have the same signs, and they all have the big Palestinian flags. And ladies and gentlemen, this is not coincidental. These people are well-funded, they're well-organized, and I guarantee you the vast majority of them are paid agents provocateur. And why? Well, think back a couple of years to the BLM riots, right? BLM exploded out of nowhere all across the country, and all of a sudden places are getting burned, cities are getting burned, police stations are getting burned, people are getting assaulted, people are getting shot, people are getting killed all over the country, all over the nation. And then what? Not, right? Turned off. No BLM riots. Not last summer. Summer before, yes. Summer before that, yes. Last year, nothing, right? Total quiet. So think about it this way. Let's say you've got a failed propaganda event, which is now turning against you and people are turning sour on Israel. How do you gin that back up? We have lots and lots of anti-Israeli protests. You've got lots and lots of anti-Israeli unrest, let's put it that way. And so you can have 24/7 on Fox and Newsmax and even the corrupt leftist media anti-Palestinian protester response. You've got people, Republicans, and I've talked about this from time to time on this program, they used to be great advocates for the First Amendment and freedom of speech, now coming out against freedom of speech, now saying you can't have freedom of speech. Freedom of speech is too dangerous. We can't have real freedom unless we control people's speech. You've got Greg Abbott, the governor of Texas, right, saying, and I'll quote him from 2 days ago, quote, arrests being made right now and will continue until the crowd disperses. Quote, these protesters belong in jail. Anti-Semitism will not be tolerated in Texas, period. Students joining in hate-filled anti-Semitic protests at any public college or university in Texas should be expelled. So this guy, of course, he wants to be president. Every day he wakes up and he thinks, someday I'm going to be president of the United States. And I like Greg Abbott. He's done great things for Texas. But you didn't hear him saying anything like that during the BLM protest days, right? You didn't hear anybody. You didn't hear Fox going 24/7 back when the BLM protesters protesters. The rioters were burning cities, looting stores, killing people, shooting cops, burning police stations, assaulting federal buildings. You didn't hear the 24/7 rant against BLM that you're hearing against the Palestinian protesters now. And by the way, I've been trying to watch as much of this as I can. I haven't seen anything set on fire. I haven't seen any stores looted. I haven't seen anybody walking out of the Nike or the AT&T store with everything they could carry. I don't remember seeing cars turned over. I don't remember seeing cops shot. I don't remember seeing any of the kind of stuff that we saw during the George Floyd riots being done by these Palestinian protesters. But I can tell you what we do see. We now see this outpouring, universal outpouring of support for Israel in, when faced with these Palestinian protests. And they're being portrayed as this abomination that every talking head is talking about how horrible this is. And so, once again, if you start with a proposition that everything the mainstream media tells you is a lie, and you start with a proposition that maybe this Hamas assault on Israel was a setup, and then you think, well, maybe the Palestinian protests are funded by the very same people that gave you the Hamas invasion of Israel in order to gin up support for Israel by creating a faux anti-Israeli, anti-Semitic protest all over the country. And then one day it'll just get turned off, right? And there won't be any more Palestinian protesters. They had this guy. Hey, Penny, what was his name? The guy that got killed in Canton, Ohio by the cops the other day. Can't remember his name, but it's another George Floyd story. This whack job drives his car through a telephone pole, gets out of his car, goes hides in a VFW hall. VFW hall calls the cops saying, this guy's here, you got to get him out of here. Cops come in, arrest him, put him on the ground, and then later on they find out, hey, guy might not be breathing, and so they do CPR. It takes a while for the EMS to get there. I figure that when it gets a little warmer, because real riding is a summertime sport, they're going to turn off the Palestinian switch and turn back on BLM, because they can't make the anti-Israel protests a Trump thing, but they can certainly use Trump as a focus of BLM riots and show how dangerous it'd be if he got reelected, because look at all the rioting and all the chaos on the streets. Like Nikki Haley says, you know, chaos always follows him. So before everybody starts sending me hate mail, before everybody starts wanting to insist that I get taken off the air, I don't know if any of this speculation is true, but I can tell you this, that what I speculate is probably closer to being true than anything you're going to hear in the media, because it has always struck me as improbable that a bunch of Palestinians on mini bikes, pickup trucks, and hang gliders could invade Israel and successfully kill hundreds of people and abscond with hundreds of hostages. It seems improbable. It seems as improbable as 9-1-1 and COVID, all right, of being something that happens spontaneously without any government involvement. But, you know, that's just me. who knows these things? But I can tell you this. I know that they can turn on and off this switch. I've seen it myself. I've seen it in the city of St. Louis. And I guarantee that the closer it gets to election time, the more and more violence we're going to see. And why? It's the same as everything else, because they want to keep you confused. They want to keep you afraid. They want to gin up as much fear as possible. And right now, what is it? USC has canceled their graduation because of fear of protests. I mean, have you heard? I mean, I haven't heard. Maybe I've been watching the wrong stations, listening to the wrong radio, but I haven't heard of anybody getting hurt yet, right? I haven't heard of a single Jewish student who's been assaulted or injured by a pro-Palestinian protester. Maybe it's happened. I haven't seen it. Like I say, I haven't seen anything burning, haven't seen anything destroyed. But if you're canceling graduations, and if you're canceling in-class, in-school classes as opposed to virtual classes because people are afraid of these protests, when nothing like that happened during BLM protests, when people were actually being killed, when businesses were actually being burned, when cars were actually being turned over and set on fire, when police stations were being burned to the ground and federal buildings being attacked and churches being burned and everything else, it seems to me a little odd that there is this reaction regarding the Palestinian protests. And you know, these poor sons of guns, the students and kids in this country are so easily manipulated and so easily confused, and they got nothing else to do but sit in their on their cell phones and poke it with their fingers all day because they don't have lives. They don't go outside. They don't play. They don't go out fishing. They don't go out hunting. They sit in their basements and play with their computers, and then when they get told to get riled up, they'll get riled up because it gives them something to do, all right? And that's about all it is. People... And I'll digress, as I tend to do. The people that invaded my neighborhood, that broke down my gate, stood in front of us and threatened to kill us and rape and murder my wife and burn down my house and burn down my office and even kill my dog. Large number of them were what I always call stupid white college girls, right? A bunch of people who wanted a cause to believe in, needed something to do on their weekend, and needed something to pretend that they're involved in, and so they're out there joining a protest. You wonder what percentage of those people in the Palestinian protests who aren't paid agents provocateur, you got to wonder how many of those people are just along for the ride, just there for having something to do, are just there for pretending to be involved, to have something they can put on their Facebook page and have some video of themselves holding a Palestinian flag. Well, once again, don't hate me. Don't shut down my radio program. Just assume that I'm totally nuts, and I'll be right back with more.
Fighting against the New World Order. More Mark McCloskey on Fire coming up. For podcasts, articles, and more, find us on newstalkstl.com. Mark McCloskey, on fire. This is Mark McCloskey on fire.
Well, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. That probably pissed you off, huh? But that's part of the whole game plan, right? Because, you know, it's now become, and I'll get off this Israel stuff, but I've never seen anything in my life since 9/11 where the media has been so monopolized by one topic as this Palestinian-Israeli conflict. The same time that we have the Ukrainian-Russian conflict, the same time that we're trying to poke at China, although not very genuinely, but at the same time we have a presidential election going on in the United States, and the same time we've got President Trump, during the height of an election campaign, trapped in a New York City courthouse over complete BS. You know, what are the charges against Donald Trump? Charges against Donald Trump is that he falsified business records by claiming that the money that was paid to these cheap floozies was paid as legal fees as opposed to something else. Well, once again, ladies and gentlemen, this is what I do for a living, right? I'm a personal injury lawyer. We represent all kinds of people in all kinds of cases, but we've had lots of cases where people complain that they've been sexually harassed at work, for example. And it's typically their word against somebody else. And typically we make the claim, and typically the employer denies it. And sometimes they deny it, but then settle and pay money to us. And part of the money is paid to make the case go away and have everybody be quiet. That's called a non-disclosure agreement. Most of what I do for a living for the last 25 years or so has been medical malpractice. In almost every single medical malpractice claim that you ever settle, there's a non-disclosure agreement where you can't identify in public who you sued, what the outcome was, what the complaint was, and you can't talk about how much money was paid or who received it. That's in every single medical malpractice case anybody settles all over, right? And so that's what Donald Trump, in the height of an election campaign, is being accused of in New York City, is that as a result of paying what is really tiny, tiny money, you know, $140,000 or something, to keep Stormy Daniels' little Stormy mouth closed, completely insignificant and in everyday business. And this David Pecker guy, the guy who published the National Enquirer, has testified that they did these catch and kill programs for all kinds of celebrities, meaning that when a high-profile person, there'd be a story that might taint their reputation, that sometimes they'd run them, sometimes they'd kill them, And this was a normal course of practice for not just the National Enquirer, but all kinds of similar publications, and not just for Donald Trump, but for hundreds of people, right? And yet, the height of a campaign, this is what Donald Trump's having to spend his time on. But, you know, we also had a couple of interesting Supreme Court cases involving Donald Trump, which he is not being allowed to attend because he's too busy being tried criminally for a crime which has not yet been identified in the pleadings or identified by the prosecutor. But we had kind of an interesting thing today, right? Or yesterday or sometime. I can't remember exactly when. But Justice Alito had this question of the lawyers that were representing the government against Donald Trump. He says, now, if an incumbent who loses a very close, hotly contested election knows that a real possible nullity after leaving office is not that the president is going to be able to go off into a peaceful retirement, but that the president may be criminally prosecuted by a bitter political opponent. He says, will that not lead us into a cycle that destabilizes the functioning of our country as a democracy? And we can look around the world and find countries where you've seen this process, where the leader gets thrown in jail. Well, you don't have to look around the world. You can look right here in the United States. You can look, for example, this week in Arizona, where they've now had a grand jury indict, 18, I think, more people, including, well, Mark Meadows, former chief of staff, Rudy Giuliani, the America's mayor, the hero of 911, who they've now turned into a pariah because he was the strongest advocate for Donald Trump. Who else have they got? They got John Eastman in that mix again. We've had John on the program here. And, you know, he's a poster child for everything that's wrong with our government today, because not only did he represent Donald Trump, not only did he offer his appropriate legal opinions, no more than legal opinions, he's now a criminal defendant in the Georgia case. He's now a criminal defendant in the Arizona case. He's had his license revoked by the state of California, license to practice law, okay? And how, you know, when Justice Alito says, I will quote it again, will that not lead us into a cycle that destabilizes the functioning of our country as a democracy? Well, it already has. Who in their right mind would want to run for a high office in this country, knowing that if you're effective in fighting the swamp, if you're effective in restoring our Constitution, if you're effective in preserving our republic, and you then leave office, you're going to get prosecuted, you're going to get persecuted, you're going to get civilly sued, you're going to be sued in places where the jury hates you, sued in places where you can't get a fair trial, sued in places like Rudy Giuliani, and I harp on this because it is just so absurd. Some jury awards $140 million against him, and by God, he doesn't have $140 million, so that means, you know, ruin, because it's not dischargeable in bankruptcy because it was punitives, for allegedly defaming two nobody election workers, right? Two people whose names you had never heard of, who could not possibly be defamed for $140 million because they had no fame to be defamed. They had nothing. They got nothing now. They had nothing then. What they had was a court system that wanted to barbecue Rudy Giuliani, and they did. Same thing with Donald Trump, with $454 million fine for doing what every real estate agent, every real estate developer in the world does, and for an alleged offense where there is no victim, where the people that were allegedly defrauded came into court and said, not only weren't we defrauded, we did our own due diligence, we lent Donald Trump money, we made money off the deal, he paid his loans back with interest, and by the way, if he wanted more, we'd have given him more. If he wants more now, we'll give him more now, right? And then they fight him over, and I'll get off this tangent in just a second. But then for doing absolutely nothing wrong, and nothing different than any other real estate developer does, and does today all over this country, he gets fined $454 million. He eventually is able to post a bond of $175 million. But no, that's not good enough. Now they have to decide whether or not the bonding company is solvent to post his bond. And so that keeps dragging out and dragging out. And finally, they reach an agreement on that. But in every single one of these cases, for their political opinions, for their political stance, for their ability to fight back against the swamp, the politicians are being prosecuted. The lawyers that represent those politicians are being prosecuted. They're being persecuted. Their law licenses are being attacked. And how are you ever going to have a fair trial? How are you ever going to expect justice? If you have this situation that we have in this country now, where if you effectively stand up against the swamp, you effectively are beyond the control of the powers that be and you affect good things for your people, as soon as you lose that power, you're going to be destroyed, and all your friends are going to be destroyed, and all your supporters are going to be destroyed, and you can't get a lawyer because a lawyer is going to know if they represent you, they will never get another client, they will be fired from their law firms, they will be prosecuted criminally, they will be sued civilly, and they'll have their law licenses attacked. We have a little bit of personal experience in that on all these fronts, right? Because we were charged criminally. We had our law licenses attacked for doing no more than standing up and defending ourselves and defending our rights. We, fortunately, my wife and I, are sufficiently small enough fish that no one's bothered to really swing a big hammer at us yet, but we're waiting for it every day because there's no unforgivable crime in this country except standing up against the left. And if you stand up against the left, they will never forgive and they will never forget. And they cannot do it because they need to have everybody be so afraid of them, being the powers that be, the deep state, that you will never raise your head again. Look at all the January Sixers if you want to see another example of that. And, you know, it's very frustrating and very intimidating, but you just have to fight over it. But, you know, how are you going to fight? I'm a Republican. I vote Republican. But what the hell purpose is there in voting Republican when you got a guy like Mike Johnson out there as the Speaker of the House of Representatives? What the heck is the point of having a Republican versus a Democrat as Speaker of the House? Where, for example, on the issue of reinstating the FISA Act, the Republicans float an amendment to require a warrant to spy on American citizens in the United States, right? What an idea. I mean, we have this thing called the Fourth Amendment to the Constitution. I talked about this last week, that if you're going to have a a search and seizure, you have to have it on oath and affirmation. You got to have a warrant that specifically identifies the places to be searched and the things to be taken. But guess who it was that cast the deciding vote to not require the United States government to get a warrant to spy on us, you and me, American citizens in the United States, the Republican Speaker of the House of Representatives, Mike Johnson, right? What the hell is the point of having a Republican in? Why the hell do we vote for Republicans if that's what we're going to get? And if there's ever more evidence of there being only one party, if there's ever more evidence of there being only one entity that runs our world, and I'm not talking about the elected officials, because the elected officials all work for that one entity. How many Republican senators voted, for example, against the foreign aid bill that just got shoved down our throats? I mean, fortunately, both of our senators from Missouri did. You can count them. I think there are 14 that voted against this aid bill. The rest voted with the Democrats. And I'm going to probably come back to that in the next segment, but think about it, right? What, $60 billion for Ukraine, billions of dollars for Israel, not a penny, not a single penny for protecting the borders of the United States. And I'll go back to what I was saying about, if you think it's a shocking thought for me to suggest that maybe the Israeli government sacrificed hundreds of their own citizens to create a good excuse to go kill Hamas. Think about our southern border. Think about millions of illegal aliens coming in. Thinking about 100,000 opioid overdoses a year, the vast majority of which are the result of fentanyl. Precursors made in China, fentanyl brought in through the southern border. 100,000 Americans a year killed by that, right? 85,000, last number I saw, of children that were disappeared into the country, right? 337,000 people flown in on jet airplanes into the country under the president's parole rules, right? Just disappeared in the country. Every single American that dies, every single American that dies of a fentanyl overdose, every single child that's in child labor or sex slavery as a result of this administration, all these lives are the personal responsibility of Joe Biden, and he's obviously Joe Biden doesn't himself do anything intentionally, but the people that pull his strings are killing tens of thousands of Americans a year, hundreds of thousands of Americans a year, and disappearing into our country, thousands, tens of thousands, 85,000 kids into what? Into child labor, into child prostitution. Every single one of those lives lost or destroyed is a personal responsibility of this administration and intentionally done by this administration for a political gain. If you ever thought that there would be a country or a government in the United States of America, in this country, that would intentionally kill, at first through COVID and then through the vaccine and now through illegal immigration, intentionally kill hundreds of thousands of its own citizens, you couldn't have told me 10 years ago that could have ever taken place. I mean, things like 9-1-1, 3,000 people killed, that's bad. But hundreds of thousands of people, 100,000 people a year killed by fentanyl, right? When I was a kid, we had this thing called the Vietnam War. There were marches in the streets. There were colleges being burned all over the country. There were banks being bombed. There was federal buildings being bombed, all in protest against the war in Vietnam. And guess what? Total fatalities in the war in Vietnam over all those years, 57,000 Americans, right? You know how many people we lost in World War II? 430,000, all right? By the time Joe Biden is done being president, he will have killed that many American citizens, okay? He will have killed as many people as a result of his administration policies as Hitler did through all of World War II, as many people as died in World War II who are American citizens. No one talks about that. You will not hear that on Fox. You will not hear that on Newsmax. You will not hear that, of course, on any of the other mainstream media. But that, ladies and gentlemen, the bare truth, as a result of COVID, as a result of the vaccine, as a result of illegal immigration, as a result of fentanyl, this government is going to kill as many Americans as died in World War II, and no one's going to go to jail, no one's going to get hung, but by God, this is treason, and by God, they deserve it. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll be right back in a minute.
You're listening to Mark McCloskey on Fire. For podcasts, articles, and more, find us on newstalkstl.com.
Mark McCloskey on Fire. You're listening to Mark McCloskey on Fire.
All right, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Mark McCloskey on Fire. Well, you know, I'm always just a little bluebird of happiness here in the ray of sunshine in your otherwise gloomy little lives. But think about this. Those of us who will survive COVID, those of us who will survive vaccination, and by God, I've not been vaccinated. My wife hasn't been vaccinated. And anybody with any sense wishes they were not vaccinated. But if we survive all that, then what's the government doing to us to make sure that anything that we have becomes the government's? Well, Joe Biden, and once again, you know, you can't overemphasize this. Joe Biden has got nothing to do with running this country. I mean, this shoe has more to do with running the country than Joe Biden does. But the powers that be, the people that pull his strings, and by the way, talking about pulling his strings, do you notice that Joe Biden no longer walks by himself to Marine One? He now has his cadre of associates aides walk around him in a pack, so you can't see the fact that he's a stumble bum. You can't see the fact that he has this stiff legged, I'm your grandfather's grandfather's senile old man walk, right? But anyway, I digress. But the powers that be have decided to crush the market, to crush the stock market, to crush us financially. Right now, they've got this thing called long-term capital gain, right? You buy stocks, they go up. You sell them, you make a profit. If you hold them for long enough, they get taxed at something called the long-term capital gains rate. The maximum long-term capital gain rate right now is 20%. It's nothing, 0% for people in the lower income brackets, no matter how much they make in the market. And then it goes up to 15%. Then it goes up to 20%. Well, what is Joe Biden now espousing? He's proposing a 44.6% tax on long-term capital gain. You add that to the state taxes on capital gains in some states, be an aggregate of 59% taxation on your long-term capital gains. Who would want to invest in a market where if every penny you make in the market, you got to pay 59 cents out of every dollar to the U.S. government? And you know, that's not the worst of it. They're also proposing to tax unrealized capital gain, meaning that you buy your stock. Let's say you bought some Berkshire Hathaway stock for $1, and let's say it's now worth $10,000 for every dollar you put in. Under this proposal, you'd have to pay taxes on that before you sell it, even if you've never realized that gain. How about if your house goes up in value? You buy a house for $100,000, the market goes up, your house is now worth $300,000. Even if you don't sell your house, are they going to make you pay taxes on that $200,000? Well, that's a Biden proposal, right? This is a guy that'll say, I'll never raise taxes. Of course, this is the same guy who this week, when giving a speech, where all he had to do was say, 4 more years, 4 more years. Well, he's reading his teleprompter, and he says, 4 more years. Pause. 4 more years. You know, you can't. Donald Trump was talking to us, and he said these words. He said, if I lose to Joe Biden, I'll lose to the stupidest human being that ever ran for office, or words to that effect. This is before the last election, all right? Think about how much worse it is now. You got a guy like Donald Trump. He's sharp as a tack, very successful guy, very dynamic, absolutely oozing with charisma, and you've got this senile, old, squinty dude who my father was eaten by cannibals. I grew up in Puerto Rico as a black Spanish truck driver, and I've been driving my 18-wheeler. I rode 8 billion miles on Amtrak, and the conductor that died before I was born always commented on it. You know, this guy just can't tell the truth of his life, depends on it. But if you're completely senile and you haven't actually got any memory, you got to say something, and you can't self-assess because there's nobody home, right? You're expected to say something. You might as well say something. But the media just lets him go on. But anyway, I digress. 44.6% tax on long-term capital gains. That will destroy the market. Taxing unrealized capital gains absolutely destroy the market. All of you folks out there, including me, who've been saving your money all these years and cranking it away into 401k plans or putting in the market yourself, you'll just see your savings just dissipate, just go away. But you know, what's the biggest problem with all of this for me? And we talk about this all the time, my wife and I and anybody we can talk to. We're down and, you know, giving speeches out of town. I always say the same thing. We have to get Donald Trump elected president or our country's gone, okay? But let's say we do get Donald Trump elected president. What happens in 4 years, okay? The powers that be will try to destroy everything that he does while he's president, and then they will use, this goes back to the Israeli-Palestinian thing that I was talking about earlier in this show, they will not only try to impede Donald Trump's progress, impede his policies while he's government, while he's president, they will then use his presidency as a excuse to say, oh, we can't have that again. We have to protect ourselves against future Donald Trumps by imposing ever more restrictions and reducing our constitutional freedoms even more. If we lose this election, if we lose the presidency, if Joe Biden retains the presidency and we lose the House and we lose the Senate, within 2 years from now, I predict there'll be 18 members of the Supreme Court. I believe that 12 of those 18 members of the Supreme Court will rule that things like the First Amendment and the Second Amendment are obsolete relics of the past and don't need to be abided by anymore, that the Constitution will be expressly thrown in the toilet, and that we will live in a country which we practically live in now, where the only freedom you have is the freedom to agree with the government or risk going to jail. The only difference between that, what we live in now, and what we'll live in 4 or 5 years if we don't win this election, is that now you may go to jail for disagreeing with the government. In the future, you absolutely will. Think about what happened in Hong Kong after the Chinese took over. Think about what happens in China everywhere. Think about what happens in Cuba. Think about what happens in Venezuela. Think about what happened in the Soviet Union. And this is exactly where we are so close to the end. And then think about the crime in New York City, subway crime. What does the government do? They call out the National Guard. What are Republican governors in allegedly red states calling for all over the country now with regard to the Palestinian, quote, protests, unquote? They're calling out the National Guard, right? What is all this designed to do? This is designed to teach us that having soldiers controlling our lives on our subways and in our schools and on our streets is an acceptable way to live. Just like we all got conned into for decades now, that having police officers and metal detectors on the way into school is an acceptable way to live. I mean, I'm only 67 years old, but I can certainly goddamn guarantee you, pardon my language, that there were no metal detectors to walk through in my school. My wife's family, both her parents were public school teachers in Western Pennsylvania. Guarantee there weren't metal detectors going into the Western Beaver High School. But now we live with this world, this totalitarian world, where we accept the fact. When I started practicing law, you go in a courthouse, you'd go back and visit the judge, you'd sit down, you'd have a cup of coffee. Well, they used to have a coffee pot in all the judges' chambers. And you've got and they had a little, styrofoam cup where you drop your quarter in and pour yourself a cup of coffee and go back and chat with the judge. Well, courthouses are like prisons now. Everything's locked. If you tap on the judge's door, they think that you're about to murder them. I made the mistake of walking backstage, if you would, at the St. Louis County Courthouse a couple of days ago, and knocking on the judge's door to ask him a question, and he had this terrified look on his face. Oh my God, there's somebody at my door. Oh, I mean, and now in federal court, in federal court, when I started practicing law, it's no different than state court. You'd go back, you'd talk to the judges. There are people that I practice with that have become federal judges. You can't get back to see them because they're like godlike creatures now that are terrified of the public. You know, a country by the people, for the people, and of the people. Well, now you got a country immensely terrified of the people. And that's the conditions that they have allowed us or have forced us to accept as a normal life. So this is my long-winded way of coming around to saying that just like I speculated about the Israelis promoting the Palestinian protests in order to get anti-Semitism declared illegal, which is what they're trying to do all over the place, have it just like in England or in Germany or in Canada, where being, quote, anti-Semitic is illegal, is against the law, and mind you, in prison, they wish to have that happen here in the United States as well. And that's just the thin edge of the wedge, making more and more speech illegal, more and more political behavior illegal. And by the way, we have these things in the United States now called hate crimes, right? I murder somebody, and that's not so bad, but if I murder somebody and they say it's because I didn't like the fact that he was transsexual, now it's a hate crime, right? He's just as dead, and I probably didn't like him when I killed him in the first place, but now if they can tag a label on it, they can now prosecute me more for the political opinion that I hold than for the actual crime that I do. And now we're getting to the point where they're prosecuting the parents of kids that do school shootings because they should have protected the world from their children. We know these folks that are going to go to prison where their kid shot up a school, The school itself knew more about the kid than the parents did. The school itself called the parents in to have them have a conference about the kid, and the parents go to jail. But the school that knew more about the kid, the school that had seen his drawings of a gun and blood and stuff on his notebook, who had called the parents in, the school officials, no one's even said, why aren't they going to trial? Why aren't they going to jail? If they have more knowledge and more ability to control the behavior of this kid in school, if the parents are going to go to prison, why aren't these school officials going to prison? Well, that answer is very simple, because they represent the government, because this is a public school, because they represent the powers that be, and private citizens are subject to the coercive power of government, but the government does not introspect itself. The government says, it's your fault. It's not our fault. The rules are for you. The rules are not for us. And by the way, if you don't like that, and if you come to the school board meeting and complain about it, we'll haul you out by the police, and we'll have the FBI investigate you as a domestic terrorist. Well, shoot. And it's all very, very difficult, because I see the end, and now Chuck Schumer and the Democrats are floating this idea of having a Supreme Court review panel. Not a review panel of the Supreme Court, but a non-elected body that will review the Supreme Court and the justices and decide if they're doing things okay, right? We have this thing, once again, called the United States Constitution. There's supposed to be three branches of government, the executive, the legislative, and the judicial, right? And the Supreme Court, the Constitution of the United States says there should be one Supreme Court, which would be the ultimate arbiter of what's legal and illegal in this country, what the Constitution means and how it should be enforced. But because the current administration doesn't like the opinions of the Supreme Court, they've been floating this propaganda for years now about how the Supreme Court has lost the faith of the American people and lost the respect of the American people, and we need to clean up the Supreme Court, i.e., turn it into a puppet of the communist powers that be. And you got Chuck Schumer standing in the courthouse steps threatening Justices Gorsuch and Kavanaugh, and that's okay. And you've got the crowd harassing the Supreme Court justices at their homes, contrary to federal law, without getting arrested, and that's okay. But by God, if you have conservative justices on the Supreme Court applying the United States Constitution as was written and as was intended by the founders of this country, those guys have to get investigated. Those guys need an ethics panel. Those guys need to have their personal finances inspected by people like what? Nancy Pelosi, that just made a killing in the market in insider trading. I mean, you can't make this stuff up. The entire country is so corrupt now. The entire country is so ruled by this uniparty that, and once again, don't be confused. I'm not talking about the moron in the White House. I'm not talking about the Senate, and I'm not talking about the House of Representatives. Those are merely the meat puppets of the powers that be. Those, the only thing that a politician wants to do is remain a politician. I heard somebody on Fox the other day, some teenager, and when they got done being interviewed, whatever talking head it was one of the dyed blonde bubbleheads from Fox, saying, oh, she should have a career in politics ahead of her. Well, I don't think anyone should have a career in politics. The concept of a career in politics is the evidence of how unconstitutional our government has become. Our basic constitution was designed to have a government that governed minimally, have a House of Representatives and a Senate that met occasionally when necessary, and not having 535 full-time politicians whose whole-time job is to find a way to make your life more difficult, make themselves more powerful, and destroy our basic freedoms. Well, that's all the time I've got. Once again, Bluebird of Happiness, enjoy your Sunday evening.
This is Mark McCloskey on Fire.
For podcast articles and more, find us on newstalkstl.com.